This podcast is sponsored by The Knowledge Website, a digital digest that cuts through the noise. Brought to you by the founder of The Week, John Connell. Every day, The Knowledge gives you all you need to know in just 5 minutes, delivered straight to your inbox or to your app. Sign up for free at theknowledge.com to get the most interesting ideas, the stories that matter, and the quirkiest anecdotes, all expertly curated.
And welcome to Coffee House Shots. I'm James Forsyth, and I'm joined by Katie Balls on this sunny day in London. Katie, figures out today show that it's almost two-thirds of 18 to 24-year-olds have had their first dose. Now, I think if anyone had said this figure to anyone in government 6 months ago, but you know, the group with the lowest take-up were over two-thirds of the first dose, people would have been very relaxed. They'd have thought, you know, that's fine. You're well on the way to the government's unspoken strategy of herd immunity through vaccination. But it is quite clear that the government doesn't think this is enough. Dominic Raab was making clear on the radio this morning that essentially kind of, you know, threats of vaccine passports for nightclubs or to live on university halls of residence, those things will continue until the numbers of young people getting vaccinated go up. Now, it strikes me that, and correct me if I'm wrong here, this is all a product, isn't it, of the fact that with each new variant, the estimate for what percentage of the population you need to have covered to achieve herd immunity is going up. So you've got to find ways to drive these numbers. And the success of Emmanuel Macron with his kind of very draconian policy of basically saying you can't go to a restaurant, a cafe, all of those things that we think, you know, improve the French quality of life so fantastic without your vaccine passport, you know, that seems to have worked, and other governments seem to be copying that.
Yes, and I think that's why you even saw the government spelling it out this morning publicly. When you speak to people privately, as you say, they point out Macron and the fact this is as much an aim to be an incentive than necessarily a direct prediction of what they're going to do or be able to do even. But you had Dominic Raab this morning when he was talking about vaccine passports. So, effectively saying, well, we're doing quite this lot of this stuff as a gesture to try and change people's behaviour. If you are doing that, it's almost strange to say. I think it's strange to lay out your strategy as such. I think the whole idea, if it is something that's going to work, is that you say people will only be able to do something, and then if they do it, then perhaps you don't have to do the goal, rather than say exactly what you're trying to do with the cunning plan. But I think, as you say, it goes down to the fact that even though there are actually quite impressive, I think, rates if you look on a global scale in terms of vaccine uptake amongst the young here, it's just not, it's no longer enough given government nerves, and they want to push it up. And you start to see them doing things which I remember when some US states were trying to incentivize young people, or just actually generally the members of the public, to take the vaccine. There are some cash incentives, there are some, you know, you can be entered into this draw. And I think people in government on the UK side were quite sniffy about it, actually. I remember at the time quite a few saying, we don't want to go down that route, we don't think that's the right route. And now we're starting to see a little bit more of an effort. And at the moment, it's more localised, but you're hearing how in East London they've been trying
music festivals,
festivals, various tactics. You saw Nadeem Zahouri tweeting today saying, if you're at Thorpe Park for the day, great news, you can get your vaccine in between roller coaster rides. Now, I don't think that's not saying you're going to get something nice, you're not getting a free ticket to Thorpe Park, but you're starting to see that the government is having to think a bit more creatively about ways they can increase vaccine uptake. And I wouldn't be surprised if you start to see more incentives. Now, there's obviously the stick incentive, which is you can't do things, but I think they're obviously going to do, it seems to me that they're going to chuck anything they can at it. What do you think they've centred on, carrot versus stick, or is it whatever?
I think their worry is about carrots is a fairness point. That huge numbers of people in this country, it was over kind of 70% of adults are double vaccinated, you know, and two-thirds of 18, 24-year-olds have come forward without really the offer of any carrot, apart from the obvious carrot of protection against the disease. And I mean, they worry about a fairness point if you went down the kind of Ohio, Maryland route of kind of vaccination lotteries. I personally think you could dodge the fairness point with kind of fairly low level incentives. You know, if you were kind of offering, you know, various US states did, you know, free beers, or I mean New York offered free burgers to people who got vaccinated, I think things like that wouldn't. And I think one of the things we talked about this on the podcast before, I'm struck by is that in Whitehall, the view very much is not that these young people are vaccine hesitant in the kind of classic sense of the word, but they basically just haven't got round to it. They're not particularly bothered about it. And I mean, that's a challenge. I think one of the other things we're going to see a lot more of is, I'm told, as I mentioned in the poll call this week, that in Whitehall, their research is showing that young people think very few other young people have got vaccinated. And so I think you could see much more of an emphasis on the fact that, you know, two-thirds of your peer group have. One of the lessons from Nudge, which has had such an influence on UK government thinking since 2010, is that it is much better to tell, rather than talking about all the people who haven't taken it, it's much better to emphasise the number of your contemporaries who have had the vaccine, and that is a way to encourage people to do it. But I think these rounds are coming. I mean, the US has obviously got a very different problem to the UK's, in that it has become part of a kind of cultural divide in the US. But when you consider that Joe Biden ruled out vaccine passports entirely, the speed at which you are seeing movement, you know, now talk of everyone in the federal workforce having to be vaccinated. You're also seeing employers in the US, like the Washington Post, saying that, you know, you only will be allowed into the office if you're double vaccinated. I think that, you know, as concerns about how to get to herd immunity grow, I think you will see much more of the stick. And the question is, you know, what are the clever carrots to use that mean that you don't have to use the stick?
And James, it's interesting when we're looking at case numbers, because there's been some relief, I think, not just in government, probably across the country, when you've seen that downward trend. Now there's small signs that actually, you know, If you compare it week to week, it's still a decline, but actually on day to day, it's going up slightly from the previous day. And I think there's also suggestions, I think Tim Spector is one of these people, saying that it's not completely clear that cases have dropped as much as the government's numbers are suggesting. Actually, it could be down to symptoms changing when it comes to new variants and people not going for their tests.
Also, isn't there an argument that double vaccinated people experience the disease sufficiently differently, that some of them might not know, it's not when they're being irresponsible having a test, it's just the symptoms are so mild that they might just not.
Yeah, they're no longer the top three that originally were there. And it does go back to this question, which is, you got JVT, so the Deputy Chief Medical Officer today, warning of a bumpy autumn and difficult winter. And what do you think the solution is when it comes to schools and also students? Because under the current rules, ultimately children are not to be vaccinated. Yet, obviously, universities are saying, you know, from 18 overs will need to be double vaccinated. Where do you think this is all heading? Because that's clearly something we saw a few weeks ago, that when pupils are in school, it does breed the infection.
So I think that I suspect that when schools in England return in September, cases will go up. Talking to people who follow it, who understand the spread of this virus much better than I do, that they've given me two explanations for this fall in case numbers. One is that people have changed their behaviour out of fear of getting pinged. And I think the mobility data bears that out. On the mobility data, you don't see the stage four unlocking. You know, if you were looking along the line and someone said to you, identify the day on which all the restrictions in England, apart from the requirement to isolate, went away, you wouldn't be able to find it. But I also think schools are a big factor. So I suspect when schools go back, this will go up a bit. And I don't think it will be as disruptive as it was before, because you've got rid of the bubbles policy, so you won't be seeing whole classes sent home. But I think it will raise this whole question about whether you should be vaccinating secondary school pupils, essentially. I think that this is going to become kind of a more intense debate. The US is recommending it for people over 12, 16 European countries, including France and the Republic of Ireland, are doing the same. And the JCBI in the UK is currently not doing so. But I think this debate is going to come back again if we do see a big rise in cases associated with the return of schools. I mean, the other thing that you see is, you know, government, sources in government are very careful not to sound like they're criticising the JCVI, but one very senior person in government said to me, you know, look, it does create a structural disadvantage in trying to stop the spread of virus, because if your strategy is herd immunity through vaccination, if there are a whole cohort of people that you're not vaccinating in 12 to 18 year olds, you know, that is a problem. But on the flip side, given how mildly children get this disease, I can understand why the JCVI is, you know, reluctant to recommend it for anyone other than those at particularly high risk of getting properly sick from COVID.
And James, on the subject of school and pupils, slowly heading up to the what last year was a very bruising period for the Department of Education when it comes to exam results. Now, this year is a little bit different because it is the method by which I think there was the most support for also teachers' predicted grades. Yet, it's still not going to be plain sailing for Gavin Williams and his team, is it?
No, because I think the problem is when you don't have normal, robust exams, yet every other option has drawbacks. So they tried a kind of algorithm to work out the grades last year and had to U-turn because they had disastrous results. This year they're going for these teacher predicted grades, but that obviously raises a problem, which we've seen several stories about this now, about, you know, parents pressuring teachers to give their kids a particularly good grade. There was a story in the Sunday Times at the weekend about private schools, you know, basically the schools essentially know with a high degree of certainty what grades their pupils are going to get. Then the allegation in the Sunday Times was that the various private schools had started to lobby on behalf of their pupils to try and get them into their universities if they had not got the necessary grades. People saying, oh, this is unfair because it's not being done for the kids in other bits of the education system. So I think that until you get back to normal, robust exams, there are no easy answers on the education front. Whatever route you go down has problems if you're not doing a kind of classic exam.
Thank you, James.
And thank you, Katie.
And thank you for listening.